Hello, this is Ian Harper welcoming you to Business of Weather podcast, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to extreme weather and climate change, flooding and poor air quality. In each episode, we'll investigate the increasing impact of extreme weather and climate change on business and society, and look at how weather technology and climate information services can help address the growing challenges. We'll also spotlight the new opportunities for entrepreneurs and business startups seeking to develop the business potential of technology innovations to help those affected by extreme weather. That's the sound of the New York Stock Exchange bell marking the debut of a newly listed company. But if you're working on a weather-related technology innovation, how can you turn it into a successful business? When it comes to funding, there are various formal and informal networks that bring would-be entrepreneurs face-to-face with financiers, be they investors, lenders, grant organisations or, bang up to date, crowdfunders. Perhaps more fundamentally, though, how can you be sure that there's actually a demand or requirement for your innovation? One problem is that few financiers know the first thing about the weather, or how weather technologies and data services can assist weather-affected businesses. You'll have to explain this to them, and the critical ingredient will be your business plan. This will require a clear understanding of who your customers are and why they want what you're offering. In this episode of Business of Weather, we talk to serial weather entrepreneur Dr. Jan Dutton about his own experiences of setting up a business. Welcome to Business of Weather, Jan.
Hello, Ian.
Right, now, can you tell me how you got into the weather business in the first place?
Sure. So my father was a professor of meteorology at Penn State University. And I think somehow through osmosis, I ended up getting involved in or interested in meteorology and climate science. And so when I was in graduate school completing a master's degree, I contemplated pursuing a PhD or pursuing an MBA. And I learned where I was at Penn State, they had a program that I could pursue both. So I ended up pursuing a PhD MBA program in meteorology. And at the end, the natural step for me was to progress into the business community rather than the academic community. So that's how it started.
Right. Now, tell me about your current venture, Prescient Weather. How did that business come about and what sets it apart from other enterprises in the weather sector?
Sure. So Prescient Weather was actually founded in 2009, and the three founders and I were at a New York City-based weather risk startup called Storm Exchange. And that company expired, and the three people I work with today founded Prescient Weather while I went off to work with a different weather company. And after 6 or 7 years at that company, I decided it was time to join Prescient Weather. And Prescient Weather had been doing quite a bit of work in primarily climate-related research and commercialization of opportunities. And they needed help basically focusing on sales and marketing. So I went ahead and joined them. So I think what sets Prescient Weather apart from other enterprises in the weather sector, one is that we are focused exclusively or almost exclusively on climate-related applications, so climate science rather than weather science. And the other then is that we are working to try to quantify the impact that weather or climate will have on an organization rather than just provide the weather information or the climate information. We are trying to bring the best science available into our applications as a means of differentiating them.
Now, tell me about Prescient Weather's main products, World Climate Service and Crop Profit, and the customers they are aimed at.
Sure. So I'll start with Crop Profit. So Crop Profit is a corn, soybean, and winter wheat yield and production forecasting system. So I mentioned that we're trying to create climate-focused applications. So it turns out the year-to-year variability in corn and soybean yield or production is really due to weather conditions that occur during the 160-day growing season. And so for that product, today we're focused on forecasting yield and production for the United States, but we're working towards doing international yield and production forecasting as well. The crop profit is targeted really towards any organization that is trading corn or soybean futures or has a price risk associated with the price of the input products for corn and soybean. The World Climate Service is a web-based tool set designed to enable better long-range forecasting. And it's, I will say today, it's used pretty extensively in the energy trading industry. So meteorologists that sit on power trading or natural gas trading desks or even commodity trading desks are using the World Climate Service to improve their long-range forecast and the communication of risk. So what we've done there is we've taken dynamical ensemble forecasts. We have calibrated them to try to improve the estimation of risk. And then we add in analog forecasting tools, statistical forecasting tools. And then there's also a pretty extensive climate index analysis capability there. That are, as I said, they're really all designed to help meteorologists improve their long-range forecasting process.
Okay, now, Prescient Weather was recently awarded a Small Business Innovation Research Grant by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration to study the optimization of forecasts in the sub-seasonal to seasonal timeframe. Can you tell me about this and which weather-affected enterprises your work will be of value to?
Sure. So the Small Business Innovation Research Grant process, so SBIRs, is a process within the government in which it's the U.S. government's attempt to support small business and innovation stimulation. So the grant that we received helps us do some research with the goal towards commercializing the results once it's complete. In this case, we are focusing on, as you said, the optimization of forecasts in the seasonal to sub-seasonal timeframe. So first off, the sub-seasonal timeframe is in this range, forecast range that are longer than the traditional, say, 7, 10, or 14-day weather forecast, but shorter than, say, a one-year climate forecast. So it's really in our focus and in our customers' focus, it's in the 3 to 4 week time frame is really the key area for sub-seasonal forecasts. And then seasonal forecasts, my definition is a little bit different than what you'll see in the academic literature. But so seasonal forecasts is monthly to season, so 3 month average periods as well. The core of the capabilities that are being developed by the Weather Enterprise today are based on using the ensemble dynamical models. So the dynamical models is essentially the same capability that is used for weather forecasting, but rather than run the model to 10 or 14 days out, the models tend to get run much longer. So the ECMWF will run their model out to 46 days, and the NOAA's climate forecast system can run out to 180 days. And so the optimization idea and concept is really two things, which is at what point in adding models to a multi-model ensemble do you get a diminishing return on the increase in accuracy? Meaning if you have a two-model ensemble and you add a third model, are you going to increase your skill? If you have a 15-model ensemble and you add the 16th model, are you going to increase your skill? And so we think it's important to understand this because you, in the operation, say, of a business, you certainly want to minimize the cost necessary to provide the product. And our expectation is that using many, many models is more expensive than trying to optimize the number of models. The other element is that dynamical models are one source of sub-seasonal forecasts. There are other methods, such as analog forecasting and statistical forecasting. And part of the optimization that we're going to be researching is how to integrate and leverage the best of all three types into a sub-seasonal and seasonal forecast. So in terms of the Weather Enterprises that this is going to affect, basically any type of company that is affected by weather, whether it be positively or negatively, can benefit from subseasonal and seasonal forecasts. So what we're seeing is that many companies are used to using medium range weather forecasts from, say, 8 to 14 days, and they're starting to look beyond that time frame to try to gain a competitive advantage. And we're trying to position our the results of our research in subseasonal forecasts as being a viable solution to help companies address those longer range risks and those longer range forecasts.
Thanks for that. Just to follow up on a point there, can you say anything about the NOAA Small Business Innovation Research Grants? Are they difficult to get hold of?
There is a competitive process for the proposals. And so the U.S., well, NOAA and the U.S. government release, they announce the availability of the SBIR grants. And you do it, as I mentioned, it is a competitive process. NOAA actually does it across the full scope of the NOAA, the NOAA responsibility, meaning atmospheres and oceans. So certainly, I would say it's not easy to get them. But if you can come up with good ideas that align with the goals that NOAA is trying to achieve, it's certainly possible to secure SBIR funding.
You're listening to Business of Weather, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum. Okay, now let's turn to would-be business startups. A good idea, a realistic business plan, and the right management team are the minimum critical ingredients of any attempt by a startup business to raise funds. Starting with the good idea, what do you think it is that sets a good idea alone, apart from a good idea that can form the basis of a successful business?
Sure. I think that the difference between a good idea and a good idea that forms the basis of a successful business is that the founders of a company either need to have or they need to quickly develop sort of the full range of skills necessary to be successful. So for instance, years ago in the weather industry, a lot of companies competed purely on the accuracy of their forecasts. And the thought was that accuracy was going to win. But I think in today's environment, there's many more factors that are required to really be successful. So I'm talking, obviously science and the ability to process data and do it on a reliable basis is really important. But the other elements, of a business like marketing, sales, customer management, are equally important, and having those skill sets are really required for success.
Right. Now, what are your own thoughts on funding a new weather business? In particular, what for you are the pros and cons of the different types of funding, including equity investment, loans, grants, money from friends and family, and trade buyouts?
Sure. So I guess the fundamental decision to be made is really, do you want to take on outside capital in the form of selling equity or taking on debt, or do you want to maintain, in effect, total control? Do the owners of the company want to maintain total control by either funding the company themselves or at least in the U.S., the term is called bootstrapping a company, in which you try to start in a very minimum cost basis and then grow the business through winning revenue based on the products you create in that environment. So I think the fundamental decision is, to what degree do you want to maintain control of the overall business? So you can certainly try to raise capital through selling equity portions to friends and family, to angel investors, and then eventually on to venture investors. The further you go up the chain there, the potential for having less control certainly exists. And I think, debt is possible as well. But in the end, for small companies, debt tends to be fairly expensive and sometimes impossible to secure just because of the perceived risk of working with a small startup-oriented company.
What about grants? You've got your own experience of grants.
Yeah, well, so the SBIR process, I think, is pretty fantastic, in part because We receive grant funding in return for the promise of conducting sort of leading edge research and then commercializing it. And so grants, I think, is a great way to go if you can position yourself to win such a grant.
Right. Now, turning to the management team, what blend of skills does a startup for business need, especially one working in the weather and climate sector? And how important is it to tap into existing experience, either of running a business or of the weather sector?
Yeah. So in terms of looking at the management team, certainly, since we're talking about a data-intensive industry in the weather or the climate industry, some aspect of the management team needs to have familiarity with what today would be called a data scientist. Processing data, analyzing it, being able to turn it into information that ends up being valuable for customers is going to be a critical skill. At the same time, some of the business-oriented skills are going to be required as well. And in particular, marketing and sales, as well as potentially strategy, so that you can segment markets, reach customers, and close sales is really going to be the two most important elements. And then beyond that, I would say in our own experience, we're finding that some skill sets are, let's say, easily outsourced. And are not necessarily required at the startup phase within a business. And then certainly as the business grows, it's possible to pull in additional skill sets. So like one, as an example, I'm finding the gig economy is very useful for, doing things like graphic design and other elements like that. It would be impossible for us to sustain someone, even halftime doing graphic design. But when I need some done, there's this whole community and infrastructure in place that allows me to find a graphic designer that can do the work for what turns out to be a very reasonable expense.
Now, based on your own experience, what are the key lessons you would pass on to anyone contemplating setting up a weather business?
Sure. So when I was in graduate school, I actually had a marketing professor who, when I told him I was going to leave school and start a company, advised me to take some of the advised me to take what was a major chunk of the limited startup funding that I had secured to do a tour and visit potential customers and find out what they actually wanted. At that time, I made the mistake of not taking his advice. Fast forward to today, one of the things that I frequently say is that it's really difficult and really stupid for meteorologists and business people to sit around the table and come up with ideas that you think your customers would like. And the better piece of advice or the better action is to actually go talk to customers and find out what they want. And so those two anecdotes are the same thing, right? So it's don't sit around the table and think about what customers might want. Go talk to customers and figure out what they actually want and then build towards that. And that's really been one of the key lessons that I've learned in the 20 years that I've been in the industry.
So it's the old adage, know your customer.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, is there a good source of information where you would refer budding weather business entrepreneurs to get further information?
Yeah, I don't really have, I'll be honest, I don't have a good answer for that one in terms of, I don't know of any source of information that is sort of focused on the business of weather, other than this podcast, of course, that someone might refer to. I think the key in today's world is somehow pick up some business experience or business training and merge that with a meteorological or a climate expertise and move forward to try to execute on a business plan.
Right. Now let's take out our binoculars. What new opportunities do you see for budding entrepreneurs and business startups when it comes to assisting weather affected public and private enterprises to meet the challenges of extreme weather and climate change? Where do you think the new growth areas will be?
So this is a great question, and my answer is not necessarily limited to the weather or climate enterprise. My experience in the last couple of years is there is so much data available, and there's new data sets becoming available all the time, that there's literally an endless set of opportunities, which is to say, if you can align new emerging data sets with an analytic capability that solves specific customer problems, you have an opportunity to pursue. And I think there is more data becoming available, or more data available and becoming available, than we'll ever be able to process and create more value from. And so the weather and climate industry is fundamentally an industry in which we take basic data sets, add value to it by transforming it into variables and information that matters to the customers, and then allowing those customers to make decisions that add value to them, or manage risk to their operations. And that, given the new data sets becoming available and given existing data sets, there's an endless set of opportunities to be able to do that. So I'm confident it's going to be focused on, finding new and emerging data sets that you can create a niche from, and then grow the niche into a substantial business.
Finally, how can listeners find out more about Prescient Weather?
Well, Prescient Weather, we are present on the web at www.prescientweather.com. And then our products have their own websites as well. So the World Climate Service is, interestingly enough, worldclimateservice.com. And you can find us on Twitter as well at World Climate Service. And then Crop Profit is cropprofit.com. And profit is PROPHET. So cropprofit.com. And we also have a Twitter handle there, which is at Crop Profit.
Well, that concludes today's interview. Dr. Jan Dutton, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ian. I enjoyed it.
You're listening to Business of Weather, produced in association with Asia Climate Forum, Asia's largest event dedicated to addressing extreme weather and climate change, flooding, and poor air quality.